Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk. This is the Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. I'm joined tonight, as most nights, by my lady, my love, my partner, my bestest friend, my wife. Hi, darling. How are you?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm good.
All right. So, just rainy, floody weather today. Yeah, we always give the weather report when we launch the show, and yeah, it's just been very icky, raw, yucky. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the creek across the street looks like. I saw the pictures you sent, but I'm reasonably sure that doesn't do it justice.
Yep, it is pretty high. And it's still raining here.
Spectacular.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it's going to do, but I can guarantee that downtown Muncie will be flooded probably in the morning. We don't flood here because we live on the side of a mountain, but everything downtown will be flooded. I know people who live downtown and will probably have water filling their basements.
If they do not already.
All that snow melt
and then the rain on top of it, the ground is just soup anyway. So, well, just wishing the best to anybody that we know in the lowlands. The Holy Ones are looking out for you.
Exactly.
So, tonight, we are, our first Thursday of the month, open topic. We don't have a guest. This is a chance for me and Robin to just hang out and share with you guys some stuff that maybe doesn't fit with the Tuesday night theme of education. But this one kind of does. I was talking with a person the other day, and one of the things that keeps coming around when people find out, they see my ring or
something is said and they figure out that I follow a pagan path, the question really comes down to, what does that mean? What do you believe? And I thought it would be an interesting conversation to have tonight to share with people a little about what at least Robin and I believe and a little bit about the overall umbrella of paganism. And so that's the topic tonight. And we're just going to talk about our pagan expression of faith and let people go with that where they will. And, you know, for me, it is really about the recognition that there is more to the divine than what the books give us. Now, the book religions are perfectly acceptable interpretations of the divine for those people. And I don't tend to bash anyone. You know, we say here on the air that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. And when I say that, I also have to recognize that all includes all, including Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, Allah, Buddha, the 333,000 gods and goddesses of the Hindu faith, as well as the Celtic pantheon that I tend to work with, the Hellenic, the Roman, the ad nauseum.
Right.
So I tend not to draw too many lines because it's not really my job.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that each person needs to seek the divine in their own way. And if your way falls outside the book religions, then you're pretty much considered to be following a pagan path, which typically includes indigenous religions such as Native American spirituality, the indigenous religion of the Aboriginal persons in Australia, etc. So that is pretty much kind of a broad definition of paganism. For myself, I tend to follow a somewhat Wiccan path with certainly some differences. But I do tend to follow a somewhat Wiccan expression of faith. I do believe in the multiplicity of the divine. And I believe in honoring nature and that the earth is sentient and the earth is our mother and should be provided for because she's been providing for us for, I don't know, a few millennia. And wrapped up in all of that is work with the elementals and work with the ancestors. That pretty well sums up, you know, my personal path. Robin, did you want to jump in with anything at this point?
Well, you know, everybody's path is somewhat different, and I don't consider myself to be Wiccan per se, although I did start my path with reading some of the Wiccan books. Certainly, as any beginner looking at the craft, I would certainly recommend the Scott Cunningham, books, Solitary, Practitioner, and the one that followed that. Those two books they're easy reading. They lay out the basic tenets of a nature-based religion. Although he folds it in under Wicca, it's sort of a relaxed Wicca. It's certainly in no way, shape, or form a conservative Wiccan tradition.
Like British traditionalists.
Exactly. Or, Gardnerians or Alexandrians or however they want to, pigeonhole themselves. But for me, I'm very pragmatic. My spiritual tradition is based very much on what do I need, what do I have. So I work with the things I have to attain the things I need. And I keep it simple. I love sympathetic magic. I like working closely with nature. And in the agrarian cycle, we talk about this stuff all the time, and looking at the roots of those things and remembering always the basic teachings. I don't care if somebody has a sigil from Egypt that's 4,000 years old and it's got all this energy in it because all these people have used it. That really just doesn't appeal to me. Some people, it does work for them. For me, it's all about what can I do with what I've got right here. And it's more about the energy coming from within me and my need and my desire and my ability to manifest in my life what I need. Self-sufficiency, I guess, and not a lot of, I don't care whether you mix pantheons and, you know, you've got a Norse god and a Roman god and a Celtic god on your altar. I don't care. If it works for you and you are successful in your practice and you have a good relationship with your deity, I don't really think it matters. As long as you are caring for yourself and your deity and practicing something that feels true to you, and, you know, and this is how, for me, it feels true to me. If I had to describe my practice to somebody who was pagan, I would say I'm a little bit hedge witch, a little bit kitchen witch, a little bit ceremonial in some of the things I do, but very pragmatically ceremonial. If I've got to whip up a real, you know, jelly beans to bones ritual, I can do that. I know what would be needed. But in general, I keep it simple and quick, and I concentrate more on working with the elements and my deity and less on accoutrement, if you will.
And at this point, it's you know, right for me to point out that while I am just as quick to perform a ritual completely within myself, uh-huh, and can sit on a park bench and perform ritual, I do like the toys, and I do tend to have a bit of a wizardly leaning with creating objects. Am I really wrapped up in historical objects? No, I pretty much like to make them myself. And I am one of these people that if I see something and I like it, and my first inclination is going to be, how can I make one for myself? Mm-hmm. Rather than, where can I go buy one? And, you know, I have created any number of objects and items through the years, and love to play on the wizardry side of things. You know, my introduction to energy work and even, you know, pre-paganism in my path, I considered myself a spell crafter. I did energy work. I was still a nice Episcopal boy. But I was doing all of this, magical work. Someone back in the early 80s gave me a book called Helping Yourself with White Witchcraft. And that started me on my path. It was not until the 90s that I, late 90s actually, before I considered myself to be following a religious path that wasn't, being a nice Episcopal boy. And that realization came with the conversation I was having with a priest friend of mine. And I said something, and he told me that I had uttered the blank, 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 blank heresy. And we're not talking small H heresy. We're talking a declared capital H named heresy. And I realized in that conversation that my time there was ended. I did not leave angry. I left realizing that I had moved past that. And there are people that are perfectly happy, and I'm happy for them, that are in that place. I just realized that for myself, there was more to the divine than was going to be allowed in my expression in that place. So I began to search, came across Wicca and began study, and that was, I don't know, 20 years ago. And so all of my practice still tends toward the creating of objects and using those as a focus. Am I just as comfortable doing ritual with Robin and we're working with the elements and the ancestors? Absolutely. But, you know, I will still, you know, go in the basement to my workshop and create wands or some other object that, you know, I charge and work with. So that's kind of the interesting contrast between the two of us and how that plays in our life, ebbs and flows with the situation and the need. Robin?
Yeah. I'm often interested and surprised to hear also what other people think we do. You know, people actually think that we believe that we can, you know, move mountains or levitate or whatever it is. People say stupid shit to me all the time, like, well, if you could do magic, why don't you make yourself win the lottery? You know, I mean, just first of all, the karmic retribution for that would just not be good. But second of all, that's not what this is about. This is about bettering ourselves, being happy. And I'll be honest with you, I know some people years and years and years ago who won $3.6 million in the New Jersey lottery, and it ruined their lives within a matter of a year. The husband was in jail. The wife was having a gambling addiction and owed the IRS a ton of money and looked like she might be going to jail. I mean, it was just a nightmare for them. So I would never wish that on anybody. you know, it wasn't worth the $3.6 million because it destroyed their family. So that's really not the focus of being a magical person is. The focus is to stop and observe what's around you, walk in nature, walk in harmony with that nature, and know yourself and create and concentrate your energies on creating the best you can be, which will then, it's like that pebble in the pond. When you throw it, the ripples will, you know, fan out from that, from you being the center, improving yourself to improving others, to lifting your community, to lifting, you know, the people around you. And that's what we're supposed to be doing here. This life, I always think of this life as the grand experiment. It is the petri dish. It is your opportunity to create what you think you're going and where you think you're going to wind up in the next incarnation. This is the foundation. This is the time where we're laying the foundation for all of that. No matter what spiritual tradition you believe in, there's a thread of that. What we do here follows us into the next life, whether it's through karma, whether it's you think you're going to go to heaven or hell, it all follows you through. So you've got to keep be mindful of that and walk with courtesy upon the earth, because I do believe, as you believe, Terry, that this earth is the universe, I believe, is sentient. And if you,
oh,
if you take a if you take a good look, there are planets in all different stages of birth and death and renewal. And the universe constantly is doing that. I mean, the universe itself has black holes, and stuff goes through the black holes, and we don't know where it comes out. We don't know what happens to it. Does it go into a different universe? Is this just another metaphor for going through a tunnel from one vagina to another? I mean, is it one, you know, is this also happening on the universal scale where we go through a tunnel and on the other side of that tunnel is a new incarnation, a new experience? It seems to be a theme, doesn't it? We come down the birth canal, it's a tunnel, we come into the light of this world. The next world, people talk about seeing a tunnel and a light at the end of the tunnel, and they go down that tunnel to what we consider death from this world, but birth into the next transition, the next incarnation. And the black hole is it's that same thing out there in space. So we really have no clue what's on the other side of that. And it just like the other side of the tunnel when we close our eyes for the last time. Nobody knows.
Yeah, well,
am
using
I
the black hole in that. No, I was just waiting to get a word in.
Sorry, you got me started. You started it.
No, but I mean, my thinking about a black hole actually is that we're just looking at the backside of a pulsar. And that still kind of fits with going through that, that tunnel and being expelled on the other side, shot out the other side. I just think a pulsar is the it's like a heads and tails on a coin. And the pulsar is just, the backside of it's a black hole. So somebody on the other side of the galaxy is seeing a black hole and wondering what it does on the other side, and we're seeing a pulsar, and vice versa. But that still kind of follows with your, going down that tunnel and coming out on the other side, typically into a world of light. So, mm-hmm. it does kind of match up. Go ahead.
There are certain patterns that seem to repeat themselves in our environment. Spirals, that's why we use them to signify nature and walking in harmony, because you can look at the spiral of our DNA, or you can look at the way a flower unfolds when it's coming out. It's a spiral. I mean, it's just repeated over and over and over and over again in nature. And so are the concept of tunnels or yoni or, however you want to discuss it. It's being on one side of a tunnel, going through that tunnel to something else on the other side, generally unknown, whether it's the infant being born into this physical reality or not.
Now, I want to return to go back a little bit and some things you were saying about reincarnation and the purpose of this life and the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some thoughts on that perhaps differ. I mean, you and I have had this conversation, but I think of each incarnation as an opportunity to experience. Spirit cannot experience the physical sensations that we do in this body. Spirit cannot understand or express or feel love or hate or fear or pain or pleasure in the way that we do in this body. And for spirit to learn, spirit must incarnate into the physical realm so that it can experience the physical. We also learn lessons. We grow. I believe that we choose the circumstances of each incarnation to give us the opportunity to either continue a project, and that brings me around to soul clusters, which is another whole topic, but also to experience so that the soul itself, spirit itself, can learn and grow. This is the classroom, and our time on the other side is summer break before we choose the circumstances of our next incarnation and return to the physical realm to experience and learn the next set of lessons. And for that reason, it is incumbent upon us, as Robin was saying, to make ourselves the best person we can be in each incarnation. That's why we're here, to be better leaving than we were when we got here. And that relationship with the divine, that relationship with the ancestors, seeking guidance about our intended goals in this incarnation, to work with deity, to make people around us, make ourselves better and the people around us better, build community and lift everyone up, is all part of that, as Robin was saying. I just think that each incarnation has a set of lessons and a goal that we are trying to achieve in this incarnation.
I do sort of believe that, but I don't believe that we choose it. I believe it is chosen for us. I think that we are given a task coming into this life, and it's not up to us. It's up to the divine. I think
it's
the divine comes and the divine says, you're going to go and you're going to learn this lesson and you're going to go and you're going to do this. And these are some of the challenges you're going to face. And I don't believe in predestiny. I do not believe that it's all laid out for us and we have no choice. I believe that in every moment of every day we have choices. And it is the little choices that affect us as well as the big ones. But I honestly think the little ones affect us more. If something as simple as, am I going to make a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn? Can make huge changes in your day. Because all too often there are little things that...
Did something I say make you think that we had no choices, that this was predestined?
No, I'm just saying there are people out there who do believe that.
Oh, okay, because you were talking about, we were talking about our beliefs, and then you started into that, and I was like, no, wait a minute. I didn't say that. So you were jumping from one place to another without a left turn signal. Okay. No, I agree. There's a lot of weird thinking. What was it we saw the other day at the goddess temple in the desert north of Vegas? That little thing that was posted on the bulletin board. Said, no, I do not eat babies. No, I do not fly. No, I do not worship Satan. No, I'm not going to hell, but thank you for asking. That was kind of paraphrasing, and I think I probably left out a couple of things. But there is a lot of weird thinking about who we are and what we do.
Uh-huh.
And it amazes me. But we have already flipped through 30 minutes of the show, or almost, and we are at the bottom of the hour. And it is time to take a break. And in the spirit of levity and just general fun, I'm going to play a song that might be apropos. It might be totally offensive. I guess that depends on your attitude. But we're going to play "Wreck of the Modern Pagan" by Murphy's Midnight Rounder. Because it's just fun. And it does kind of go with this topic because nobody knows for certain if anyone has it right. We're just doing the best we can, and this song is all about just doing the best we can and enjoying the ride. So,
Wreck of the Modern Pagan,
most appropriately. So, Wreck of the Modern Pagan by Murphy's Midnight Rounders. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around.
Plastic candles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print to praise Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me because she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great rite consisting of the alternator keys. F7 scribes a circle round, and F8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says that someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude, her past is Trixie Druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his plus two arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, cause demons really don't play nice.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. Says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Grimassi, and Z. Budapest, and volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
The Viking path's the one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great-great-great-great-granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meat or brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass, it's true. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All right, that was Murphy's Midnight Rounders with Wreck of the Modern Pagan. What a great song. And now a quick message from our friends over at International Pagan Radio.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you Virginia. Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and we are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. Hi, Robin. How you doing over there?
Oh, I'm good.
Oh, I do love that song. You knew I was going to play it too, didn't you?
Yeah, I kind of did.
Now, every time we have any version of this conversation, I end up playing that song. Just as you said, to remind us to laugh at ourselves. So before the break, you were starting toward a discussion of common misconceptions. What are some of the scariest and or funniest misconceptions that you get asked about?
Oh, you know. Well, you kind of said some of them half jokingly in the that sign that we saw in Vegas about, well, do you eat babies? And I mean, I've actually had people ask me, do you sacrifice animals? And you know, do you believe in hell? And you know, are you a devil worshiper? And do you bleed and do you use blood in your sex? And I try to explain to people the significance of certain traditions that believe that, you know, sacrificing an animal and what it represents, and that it's nothing that we should judge because we don't necessarily understand the tradition it comes from and the agrarian connection there. Just like certain people in other countries have different customs, you know, certain religions have different customs. Heck, you know, if you told somebody who'd never heard of it before that when you go to church, to a Catholic church, that you're eating the body of Christ, I mean, people would think that was horrible. It sounds like cannibalism. You could make that sound awful. And you're drinking Jesus' blood and you're eating his body. That's disgusting.
Yeah,
so,
theologically, that is what they're doing.
Oh, I know. That's what they believe, right? How is it that that's okay?
It becomes the body. Yeah.
Right.
Well, exactly.
How is it?
I mean, I agree with you. And the thing about sacrifice, and I wanted to address that. They've been doing a lot of archaeology in Ireland, mm-hmm. I don't know, several hundred years. And every time they dig something over there, they find archaeology. It's just, you can't dig a, you know, a fence post in Ireland without finding archaeology. But around old wells, they will be doing some kind of excavation or cleaning out the well or whatever they're doing, and they find these beautiful pieces of art, precious metal, sometimes wood that's been preserved in the muck. But they find these pieces that are standalone, beautiful pieces of art just thrown into this well.
Uh-huh.
How is that different than a farmer giving up some part of his flock to the gods, or giving a beautiful, worthy, valuable piece of art, probably crafted by the person that threw it in the well? That's as much a sacrifice as giving an animal that was part of the herd, or part of the flock, or part of your livelihood. It's not really a great leap between the two. Now, one was once living, and one was you know, once a piece of slag metal. But the value attached to them is the real aspect that involves sacrifice. Is what value does this have to me? If I've got $1 million and I throw a quarter at a beggar, I've made no sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
If I've got a few dollars and I give a quarter to a beggar, I have made a sacrifice. So understanding what the word means, giving something of yourself in a deep and meaningful way, the cultures that sacrificed animals, that was how they measured worth.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I tend to have, like you in that regard, at least a very pragmatic approach to, you know, previous or other cultures that do animal sacrifice. It's, you know, where did that come from? Where is that culture that led to this practice? And you had commented on that yourself, is we don't understand the culture. But in some cases,
right,
we might can get a glimpse.
Uh-huh.
If we look at how they valued, how they measured wealth, and therefore sacrifices, you know, kind of the same across the board.
Right.
So I wanted to jump in with that. I apologize for interrupting. So you were talking about, you know, eating babies and worshiping Satan and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, there was something else I was going to say about the sacrifice thing. I don't remember. But, yeah, I mean, people ask odd things all the time, and they think it's okay, you know, to ask these questions and that it's not offensive in any way or horribly disappointing, you know, that people actually think this stuff and have to ask us. It's kind of like, I could remember I was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5, and the first time my grandmother had a friend come over who was African American, and that I recalled, and I remember she brought her kids with her, and I remember we were in the bathroom washing our hands, and I said something that, you know, looking back on it, probably not the most sensitive thing anybody could say, but I was 4 years old, you know, so, or maybe 5 at the oldest. And I said, oh, you know, you guys are so lucky because when you wash your hands, you can't tell if it's really dirty or not. And my grandmother was so embarrassed. You know, people say things that they really don't think through oftentimes. Now, I had an excuse. I was 5. You know, this was a new experience for me. But, you know, these are adults that ask us questions that are just about that horrific and, you know, condescending. And they just don't think. And I've used that, getting back to the sacrament. I've used that where when I ask them, you know, oh, are you, you know, what spiritual tradition are you? And if they say they're Catholic, I'm like, do you really eat the body of Christ? What? Because they don't think of it that way. You know, they're not thinking of it. In their mind, it's a cracker, it's a wafer. But they don't see their religion from the eyes of somebody who's not exposed to it, because it's considered the norm here, so it's okay, and nobody ever questions it. So when you do that to them, they kind of look at you, you know, with this incredulous look, like, how could you say that to me? Well, you know, how could you ask me if I worship Satan? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Doesn't that just sound stupid?
But that's what they're taught. I mean,
you've known me now for like years, and you find out all of a sudden that this is my spiritual tradition. You've trusted your kids to come to my house, and then you ask me a question like this? What is wrong with
right.
you?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that they're taught this kind of stuff, and a lot of people don't question what they're taught.
Yeah,
and that's a frightening thing. One of the things that we particularly in our work with other people and our work with the station where we're talking to people is we don't expect anybody to take what we say and, well, Terry and Robin said it, so it must be true. Well, no, not so much. Terry and Robin said it because it's very true for them.
Uh-huh.
And each person has to go find their own truth. Truth is, you know, the facts can, you know, the facts tend to follow, you know, cause and effect, but the truth is a different thing altogether.
Uh-huh.
And people need to find their own truths. And when an expression of faith tries to give you the truth, that's when you need to be asking questions the loudest.
Yeah.
You know, we encourage question. We encourage thought. So there we are. Yeah, I mean, the Satan worshiping thing is always the most fun. And or can you curse my ex boyfriend or ex girlfriend? Well,
can you
probably,
make somebody fall
I don't
in love
really...
with me?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Can you give me a potion that will make someone fall in love with me? Well, we could probably whip up something that would give the outward appearance of love, but it would, A, be, you know, violating that person's will. It would be temporary, and it would be meaningless and therefore empty, and you would ultimately grow weary of this, and this would be bad for everyone. So,
uh-huh.
you know, it's not something we do. I don't want the baggage attached to cursing someone, because then I've connected myself to that person in a way that is profound and deep, and I don't really need attachments to people that are not happy in my life, you know?
Right.
There's all kinds of things we can do that we choose not to for any number of perfectly good reasons. Most of them are because they're bad for the person doing them. So, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff out there, and a lot of things that people think, and there's a lot of opportunities to be offended. If that's the choice we make, is to be offended by ignorance, then we could probably stay offended most of our lives. Almost every waking hour, there's a reason. There's somebody did something ignorant that would give me cause to be upset. I choose not to go that way. I choose to recognize that most people are doing the best they can, just like I am, and that their ignorance is born of, like Robin said, that's the norm here. And they don't know anything outside that norm. So showing a little respect, answering the questions with respect, even when you want to laugh in their face, typically gets a better reaction. Another thing that's a one of my hot topics, it's probably my third most favorite soapbox, is we need to define ourselves and express that definition in positive statements. And I don't mean like, you know, this is good and this is bad, or, you know, positive and, you know, by some other standard. I mean positive as opposed to not, you know, give real I believe statements instead of, well, we don't do this, or I don't believe that, or I don't, or this doesn't, or don't. The word not should not appear in your definition.
Right.
You need to express I believe statements. I believe statements are positive expressions. If we are constantly defining by ourselves by who we are not, then we are not moving forward.
Okay.
We're not fully embracing who we are. And as long as we live in that state of rebellion, and a state of rebellion is a perfectly good reason to go on a search and seek something more than what you had or where you were.
Uh-huh.
As long as you don't live the rest of your life defining yourself by where you used to be.
Yeah.
Because as long as you do that, you are attached to that instead of going forward toward where you want to be. Did I say that correctly, Robin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is one of my biggest things I talk to a new person about. And
mm-hmm.
a favorite question also is to ask a new person if paganism was the dominant religion or dominant expression of faith in your community, would you still want that as your expression of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people come to pagan expressions of faith because they want to piss off mommy or daddy, or they want to rebel against society, or this reason or that reason. That's okay. That's a good way to find what you're looking for, because you're questing. But is your reason for doing that seeking a positive I believe, or
mm-hmm.
seeking a I am not? So anyway, that's my I'll step down off that soapbox. Robin, we are way toward the top of the hour.
I see that.
Why don't we do the how do you get in touch with us, and then we'll wrap up with some final thoughts.
Okay, sounds good. Well, if you'd like to get in contact with Terry or myself, you can write to us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You also can reach us at on Facebook at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page, or you can find myself at Robin A. McKean Facebook page, or you can find Terry on his Facebook page at Rev Terry Power HP. There's also a Facebook page for the radio station, which is Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And I think that's it.
All right. So thanks to everyone for being with us. Thanks to our special guest from Tuesday night also joining us. There's some side conversation going on in the chat room about the sacrificing of animals. I'm going to probably indulge myself in that conversation after we come off the air. just because it looks like fun. So, guys, if you're not live with us, you're missing conversation in the chat room. And while we may have moved on 10 minutes ago to another part of the topic, people in the chat room are still discussing the sacrificing of animals. So you're missing out. You're missing out on a big part of the show if you're not in the chat room. So next time, listen live and get to be fully engaged because, damn, it looks like they're having fun in there. I'm going to go play. So, Robin, final thoughts. Before we do final thoughts, where are we going to be in June so people can come see us?
Aha. Well, people should come out to the Ishtar Festival, which is going to be located in central New Jersey. It's just off the Route 9 corridor in the Marlborough area, which I believe is Monmouth County still of New Jersey. And Ishtar Festival is actually this very cool thing we're doing this year. It's like going to be a Ren Fair, except instead of meeting the king and the queen and having the court, this is going to be you walk around and you will interact with the pantheon of gods and goddesses of the Sumerian culture. And we encourage people to come in garb. And if you do, you will get a free crescent roll. Get it? The Fertile Crescent.
Yep.
You'll get a free crescent roll
like
with your costume. Yes.
Dress
and come
like
and walk like a Sumerian. It's going to be a blast. There's going to be vendors and classes, and silliness will abound. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be on this beautiful private land in central New Jersey. Go to handsofchange.org and look for your registration. The fee is extremely reasonable. There's a Saturday night feast that's included with registration, and there are rituals, and there's drumming, and it's going to be a blast. Terry
children's
and I will be
activity.
There. Yep, and children's activities are going to have like a kids track to keep the kids busy and safe while you go off and, you know, have classes, learn, and participate in community. These events are becoming fewer and fewer in our area, so please come out and support Hands of Change. I know these people personally. They are great people, good human beings, a lot of fun. It's going to be safe and fun and well run. That should be that rhymes. That should be their motto: safe, fun, and well run.
Yeah, there you go. But yes,
so come and join us,
and
we look forward to seeing you. It's going to be June 9, 10, 11, I believe, that weekend.
Yes, June 9, 10, 11, and we're going to be out there the whole weekend, probably a couple of days ahead. I don't know. We're deeply involved in the event and very much looking forward to being there, to hanging out with all of our friends from Hands of Change and to making new friends with all of you nice people that come out and say hi and hang out with us.
Yeah.
So final thoughts.
My final thoughts are that whatever path you choose, be sure that it's one that you're comfortable in. Whether you're pagan, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Zen Buddhist, I don't care. It should feed your soul and make you happy. And as long as that's where you're at, nobody should pester you and make you feel any less than anybody else who follows any path. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And my final thought, in addition to what Robin said, it is incumbent upon us as we try our best to build community in a world where community seems to be disintegrating, that we show each other respect. I don't have to agree with what somebody calls the divine, what name they use. I can respect the fact that they're doing their best to follow a path, and as long as they give me that same respect, I'm going to do my best to give them respect. Sometimes, if they don't show me respect, I will try harder to show them respect because it's just more fun. You know, it's like in the South, we can say, bless your heart, and it means a whole lot of things. And I find that my life is a whole lot more comfortable if I start with respect. And if we allow each other, each person on this planet, to walk their path and find their connection to the divine, two people following the same deity for a lifetime will have a different relationship with that God form. Even if they follow the same God form side by side for years, they will each have a slightly different understanding of that deity form. That's fine. In fact, that's encouraged. That's wonderful. So we can't define other people and their path through our eyes because we're not walking it. So show people respect, show each other respect, love people, let the love of the divine shine through you, and that includes respecting their right to their path. And I think if we could do a little bit more of that, we could make the world a better place, one respectful act at a time. And with that, I am going to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.